With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Australian Jams. This is, I don't know what episode number it is, 74 maybe, but it is the final episode of the year. And I haven't said this to anyone, I've just made this decision yesterday, but this will be going on hiatus until April next year because I have a lot of work in the first quarter of next year and don't want to do a bad job of this one. So, you heard it here first. Anyway, I'm Gemma Bastiani, as always, and I'm very excited to be joined by someone who I've actually admired as a muso for a really long time because of one of the bands you're in, but you're here kind of under the guise of your solo project as well. So I'm here with Tim Hart. Hello.
How you doing?
I'm great. How about you? You're a bit stressed at the moment?
It's been a great year, isn't it?
You've just been through some border situations and we've had a brief chat about that. I'm very sorry you've had to deal with that.
No. I live in Brisbane, so I sort of was given an ultimatum by our premier of about 24 hours to get home and see my family before Christmas. So I was in Sydney recording with the band, so I just sort of jumped on a plane and here I am.
It's remarkable. I've just stayed in my apartment. I haven't even thought about the idea of going anywhere. I'm lucky enough that what I do for work means that I don't have to leave my apartment. But yeah, it sounds incredibly stressful. You've had a pretty hectic year though, haven't you? I mean, everyone has. But in terms of building towards a release, right?
Yeah, it's been really different this year. Obviously, it has been for everyone, but I think it's been an incredible year of learning for me and sort of taking control of my solo project, which is something I've been doing for years, but it now seems to have more, for me, it has a lot more purpose and direction. It's in that sense, it's been a pretty productive year.
That's very exciting. I just realized that I forgot to get you to introduce yourself. Hi, Tim. Yeah. Who are you? Can you tell us who you are and what you do?
Well, like you said, my name's Tim, Tim Hart. I play, I guess, music, which is singer-songwriter music, but also I play as the drummer in a band called Boy and Bear, which I've been doing for a long time. And I'm like really stoked to be here and also really stoked to still be actually able to play music. We played a few shows in November, which was really good. And the ball is still rolling somehow, which is good.
Somehow, yeah. I mean, things were looking pretty good for a while and then stuff happened. But we deal with it as it comes. I should mention that I have, and you probably are aware of this, I have been hearing a lot of what's been going on in your little solo project life. Not little, but you know what I mean. given your new manager is, or co-manager is, my best mate, Sabby, who's been on the podcast before. So we've got to shout out Sabby.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
She's a complete legend. Are you able
seriously,
to...
Seriously, I mean, I don't know. Like, do people come on podcasts and talk about their managers? But if they do, Sabby has literally been so instrumental in so much that it's... Like, there's been so much behind-the-scenes work with my solo project that it sounds really vague to talk about it because there's only been two singles released, but so much of that will become really obvious next year when the record comes out and everything's just organized and, you know, really well done and not sort of half-assed. And I'm so excited and grateful to Sabby for everything she's done. And if you see those, if you ever go and look at Tim Hart on Spotify and you see those little animations, Sabby's worked hard, done all them, all the ideas that, you know, make me look like I'm reasonably intelligent to do with my social media is all Savvy as well. So she's incredible.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the animations, because every time I go and see her, she's got a little update on how she's gotten better at animating. She taught herself how to do it just for this project. It's like, that's the sort of stuff she does. It's crazy.
She's incredible.
So and good. You kind of headhunted, you and Corinne kind of headhunted her, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, Corinne, who managed the Cat Empire for 20 years, has just started managing Boy and Bear. It's her second band ever. And we were looking for a manager for my solo project. And we went through a bunch, because there's so many great young managers in Australia. But we came across Savvy and got in touch with her, and she politely declined, although that she said she was a big fan of what I did and stuff, and then we didn't take no for an answer. But you don't meet many people like that. So
no.
Someone that's so effective at what they do and also just completely gets the vision of it and who I am as a person, and I'm not like a rock star and sort of just love to play music and be creative and tour and write and produce other people's music, and just sort of I love connecting with people at a grassroots level, and Savvy, you know, especially from her history, is just like a gun at all that stuff. So
yeah,
it's good.
I always describe her as the person that I wish I was. we hung out yesterday and we talked about it, so yeah, that's we had to get this little love session in for Savvy, because amazing. Great. Human. Most people know her as well, so there's a reason for that. So, this being the final episode of the year, we're doing it slightly differently, and we've both just chosen our three favourite Australian releases of the year.
Yes.
So, they're not necessarily super new like normal episodes, but I'm fine with this, because that was my decision anyway. I've lost my mind. It's Monday. Tim, you've chosen three songs. Which one would you like to start with?
Well, off the top of my head, I've got an Alexander Biggs song, which was also a bit of like props to Savvy, but I also love the song. I think I chose Laundromat by memory. We can start there. I think, you know, I heard this song on some playlists at some point. It was out this year, wasn't it? It definitely was out this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really good. And I think it was in early lockdown when I was just listening to a bunch of music and just sort of becoming interested in listening to music again, which had been years and years for me. And I heard it and I thought it was really good. I assumed it was some American artist, sort of in the same vein of, you know, that Elliott Smith stuff. I heard it and I thought, oh, this is amazing. I really love it. I think it's all the things that I loved about music when I was really getting into it and starting to be a songwriter. Just that, I guess you could feel the insecurity and the honesty in it, and the sense of wonder. And I thought, I love this. I didn't know who it was, as it can be with Spotify playlisting. You don't even necessarily see the name of the song or the artist. And then I was just really stoked to find out that it was an amazing Australian singer-songwriter. So, and that happened months later.
That's like incredibly fortuitous, because in case people don't know, Savvy also manages Alexander Biggs. So I love that that's how it came about. You didn't choose it on the basis of knowing the rest of the story?
No. Like, you know, there seems to be like this genre, and I don't even know what the genre is, because, I mean, previously genres were created by record companies to sell records, but these days... with the advent of I guess, like, streaming services, like, I don't know what... I guess genres are there to help to guide people to the music they like. And I don't know what genre this fits into, but I just call it singer-songwriter. There's a really great sort of seam of singer-songwriters that fit into a certain category. And I can't describe it in words, but I definitely understand the feel of it, and... Alex is one of those, and I just love listening to that sort of music. It's sort of, it feels to me not necessarily 2020 or whatever, it just feels quite timeless, and I think that's a real power in music. So
yeah,
big props to the guy, well done, keep
absolutely.
It up.
Absolutely. Yeah, his songwriting is the thing that's always stood out, and it's funny, I've known Alex for a really, really long time, and I actually have some of his really early demos from when he was in a band called, I think it was called Discovery of a Fox. And it was a lot of the songs that he's now reworked into his solo project. And
oh, cool.
The through line has really always been his songwriting. And his songwriting's always been incredibly strong. But the way he's developed other assets, so developed his voice and developed the way he arranges music, has just added that extra layer onto it and made it this thing that is now getting quite a bit of success, I guess, because he's been able to fix up those other things. But the songwriting has always really been the thing that has worked for him.
So that's interesting. So is that's obviously been a developmental thing for him, that he's obviously been conscious of wanting to improve certain things of his own project, like the voice and the music, like, absolutely, which you would think is pretty fundamental. Like I feel like my journey is quite similar to that, but the writing is so strong in his music that, you know, I see some techniques that he uses, and I use the similar techniques, and I was like, I wonder if that's because he's not sure about his voice, or he's insecure about it, or has been in the past, that double tracking of the vocal, but it's really beautiful.
Yeah, and I love the way he's arranged his vocal in this one. He actually played it. Weirdly enough, it doesn't seem like this year, but it was. We had our second ever live recording of the podcast at the start of, in January this year, at Sun Velvet Morning, and Alex played this song as part of it. So I recommend going back and listening to that episode, because the live version of this is incredibly beautiful. It's just him with his guitar. And great, that's on that episode, yeah. But shall we have a listen to this one?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is Laundromat by Alexander Biggs, and we'll be back in a second. So my thanks to try and win the lottery, to make my money back and find some peace. Didn't have the guts to steal your heart, but you sold it to me cheap. Something tells me you just leave. That was a bit of Laundromat by Alexander Biggs. I'm here with Tim Hart for the final episode of Australian Jams for the year. My first song for this episode. So what I've done is I've just chosen my three most played songs of the year. They're all Australian. And it's funny that I've done that, because my fourth most played song for the year was Laundromat by Alexander Biggs. So I technically have my four most played songs here. The first one for the year was Odette and Hermitude's Fever Break, which came out, I think, in January of this year. Obviously, I love Odette. It's just, she's incredible. I just think the collaboration was so amazing, and that's the thing that really stood out for me about this song, was Odette's ability to adapt to different types of production, and we saw that happen again later in the year when she released that song with Alice Ivey, or Alice Ivey released the song with her. Yeah. So it's like, the way Odette's able to, I think because her vocal is so strong and unique, she's able to retain so much of herself while still working really well in a collaborative environment. And it's kind of really interesting looking into the most recent iteration of her and the solo stuff she's released most recently. It's kind of been a bridge between her record and what's new, and I really, really like that.
Yeah, don't you reckon it's so, someone like Odette, like, so idiosyncratic that you could literally take that voice and put it anywhere and it would sound like an Odette song in a way? Like, it's almost like, it's such a strong flavour. I'm just trying to, like, it's almost like black cardamom. You're like, you cannot mistake it for anything else.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But I reckon that's a real talent, you know. And
it's because she's got such a strong voice, and she's got so much control over it as well, and the way she can move between styles in just a moment, singing almost like beat poetry into something really strong and ballad-like. Like, the way she can switch and just continue is amazing, and I can't sing for shit, and it's just, that's probably why it's even more amazing to me, because I'm just like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, it does fill me with envy and some sort of anger that I don't have the same
some
thing.
Some sort of anger.
it's amazing to see when someone's just got that sort of talent, that natural talent oozing out. I'm not taking away from any sort of study or hard work she's done, but it just clearly is naturally, you know.
Yeah, and like we talked about Alex's songwriting, her songwriting is very much her as well. So I guess that probably has a big part of it, is that, you know, when she's writing a top line to go over someone else's production, that top line is still very hers. And like you can tell, the turns of phrase she has, and I liken her a lot to Eilish Gilligan as well, who is very similar in the respect that it's the cadence in which she sings. It's not just the sound of her voice that really is hers. It's not just anyone could sing that way.
Yeah. I mean, like, what's that thing that, like, Bob Dylan, and you can never trust a Bob Dylan interview, but they were like, what separates your music from all the other people doing the same thing at the moment? And he's just like, one word answer, phrasing. Yeah. And I think that we overlook that so often. Because you can take an artist can get a song and deliver it beautifully, and another artist can do it beautifully as well, but the difference will become the phrasing. And like, I find that so interesting. Why is it that the human brain likes one but is nonplussed by the other? And I have no idea what it is.
The phrasing thing is so interesting. No, I think, I don't know, I'm going a bit off track here, but bear with me. It's like the whole accent thing, right?
Yeah.
Accent is as much about phrasing as it is the way you pronounce a word, right?
Yes.
And it can completely change the way you hear something. So it makes sense that it's the same in music.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in that sense, why is it like when you hear, like, if I hear a singer-songwriter, for example, and I hear, like, and you can hear that they're from Ireland or Northern Ireland, for some reason, it just screams authenticity, and you're like, that's so authentic, I love it. But, like, why? It's, I don't know why.
It's because of the mental picture that paints, isn't it?
Yeah, dark pub. Yeah. Desperation. Hard work.
I feel bad for all the Northern Irish singers listening to this right now. Desperation painted in your voice.
They know I love them. They know I love them.
Let's have a listen to a bit of this one. It's called Fever Break. It's by Odette and Hermitude, and we'll come back.
A woman is not a bed. A love is not a home. Her heart would have walked barefoot on hot coals. That's why he's now alone. He never touched her words. He barely touched her bones. Before you lay with a lucid writer, ask, are you bold? I'm burning, can you help me break the feeling? You haven't needed aim, then you're real. We're moving ahead, and my body's like Berlin. Four times a dream, seven just to forget. I should have told you, you were...
You just heard a little bit of Fever Break by Odette and Hermitude. That came out in January this year, I think. Should have written that down. Tim, which is the next song you would like to talk about?
I've got a Stu Larson song on there, don't I?
You do. Phone Call from My Lover.
Yeah. Funnily enough, it is in there, but, you know, I chose this song. I produced this record of Stu.
Amazing.
And this was a song that came at the very last minute. I'd been working on the pre-production with Stu for a couple of months. Obviously, remotely, because he's everywhere in the world except for Australia. And he goes, he came to me one day and said, I might have written a song. I'm like, what do you mean you might have written a song? You know, you either have or you haven't. And he's like, well, I just don't know that I want to share it with you. I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, completely no pressure, but, you know, oh, why don't you just send me your voice memo? I'll have a listen to it or whatever. He's like, I don't know. I don't think I want to record it for the album. And I was like, what is going on here? This is just so, like, cloak and dagger, clandestine, Stu Larson at his best. And he sent me the song, and I was like, holy shit, you have to record that song. And it took it, you know, he obviously wanted to be convinced to record it, otherwise he would never have got in touch with me.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, it was just, it was a really compelling song and so sad, and it was exactly the place he was in at the time. And I was like immersed in this world, and I was like, we have to do this. And I know exactly how we're going to do it. And it was the last song we recorded on his album. And it's, I don't know, for some reason, maybe it's just like fixed in place and time for me. Like, when I listen to it, it still takes me back to the conversation I had when, you know, the literal phone call from his lover happened. And yeah, for that reason, it's, for very personal reasons, it's one of my favourite songs of the year. And it is technically Australian, even though he doesn't reside here.
He is so, Australian, yes.
Yes, I'll give he's very much Australian. Yeah, a lot of people won't have heard this one, and it, but it's a cracker.
Yeah. It, when I listen to it, and being someone who doesn't listen to a lot of Stu Larsen but is very aware of the stuff that he's done and who he works with and stuff, this to me is like the exact kind of song you go to Stu Larsen for. You know what I mean? Like, the way that emotion cuts right through is exactly what you want from him.
It's otherworldly, the Stu Larsen thing. It's, you know, I don't mean this in any, because he's my best friend, but like, this is not any sort of insult to Stu, but it's almost this fantasy land that people who are fans of Stu Larsen buy into, and they enter this world. And it's like their little private viewing room of Stu's life. It's just like, it's a pretty good way into, you know, Larsenism. I've just coined that phrase right there.
It's the name of the cult, is it?
It is. Larsenism. Or methodology for life. One of the two.
Methodology for life. That's probably less stressful. It sounds more Scientology-ish though, doesn't it?
It does, but you know, like it doesn't sound as murky because there's been no proven cases of manipulation. Yeah.
That drum towards the end sounds quite a lot like a heartbeat. Was that the intention?
Yes, it was. It's exactly what the intention was.
Well, you nailed it.
And I didn't play the drums on it. A great drummer called Evan Minnell, who plays on Paul Kelly's stuff and a bunch of other people, Justin Clark. He's an incredible drummer, and I got him in, and that's exactly what we're going for. And it was like the end of the song is supposed to draw you into a place where that solitary world of just you and your own thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. It does drag on that little bit longer than you think it will, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I listened to it at midnight last night, which is probably either the ideal time to listen or the worst time to listen, depending on your mindset.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good time. It depends where you are in life.
Yeah, it's true. If you've just spent how many months in lockdown in Melbourne, maybe not the great time to listen.
No.
Let's hear a bit of Phone Call From My Lover by Stu Larsen. We'll come back.
I've come to the conclusion we both missed somehow. And darling, maybe we've already found what we are looking for.
That was a little bit of Phone Call From My Lover by Stu Larsen. That was Tim Hart's second song, who is with me today. My second one, I'm going to say second again, I'm sorry. It was my second most listened to song of the year. And it was a bit of a foreshadowing of what was to come this year, which, you know, a bit creepy. I chose Contagious by Banoffee.
I did really enjoy this.
You didn't, or you did?
No, I did.
Oh, you did. Good. I was going to say, this song's great. I was joking to Sabi yesterday. Sabi is the feature person of this episode, apparently. I was joking to her yesterday about how I remembered that I actually started the year with Shingles, and that should have been a foreshadow for the year that was to come, like as a bit of a joke. But I think this is more so because it's a song literally called Contagious that came out in January. Nearly 12 months after I first heard it, I think it remains as brilliant as the first listen. So it wasn't one of those songs that you had to listen to a few times to kind of grow on you or anything. Straight away, I loved it, and I love it as much now as I did then. And I think that is a testament to a really good song, right? Especially a pop song.
That's almost unheard of. Like, I'm just trying to think of the music in my life that has done that. There wouldn't be many records.
That's maybe I'm impressive. Easy to please.
I don't know. You do a music podcast. It's generally not the case. Just say that you like my stuff and then behind my back, slay me to the people.
I would never do that to you, Tim.
With my music, with shit, I would hope you would. No, that's good. That's even better. Why is your writing so cheesy and meaningless? Well, I don't know. It's been tough year.
Leave me alone. Contagious, Bonoffi. I think Bonoffi is a goddamn genius, and it disappointed me that she really had to kind of find some success while overseas before she could come back and get it here. That's what it felt like anyway. But I just think she's just a remarkable musician that thinks so differently to the way most others listen. So you know how a lot of people talk about the Billie Eilish record, and I've said this before as well, is that it's pop, but it's a really new take on pop, and it's really trying to push those boundaries. I think Bonoffi is exactly that, but maybe a less commercial type of music, so it's a little bit harder, and probably Lupa J probably falls into that category in a different genre as well, is that they're the ones really pushing the boundaries that allow other people to try that stuff. I just want Bonoffi to see more success off it, I guess.
And the funny thing is, especially in Australia, like you can slip through the cracks really easily, but I think people make the mistake of themselves not valuing themselves as an artist if they've slipped through those cracks.
Yeah.
But actually just tells you that, you know, it can be a bit homogenous in Australia. And when I say homogenous, obviously across a broad range of musical styles, but a lot of really great music gets overlooked. And people do have to, you know, go overseas. And because I think that in North America and Europe, people just love good music, and they don't approach music by, does that sit within the boundaries of a certain radio station or a certain demographic? They go, is that a good song or not? Do I like it? Would I want to go and see that live or listen to it? And I love that it's not so, the music industry is not so curtailed or curated in North America and Europe.
That's, I guess that's absolutely the fan perspective, and you would know that having toured there a lot. Do you think from an industry perspective, given that Australia is quite a small population, there's less willingness to take the risk on something that's a little bit more different as compared to the US where the population is massive, so you're more likely to find a bigger niche area?
I think in general, the industry in Australia and the people that make the decisions in it lack creativity.
Yeah.
And that's why they're on that side of the fence.
And that's why they're unwilling to take risks.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think, let me make a really, really definite distinction between industry, like journalists, who include like podcasters and like yourself, or you know, anyone in written press or anyone that covers things. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about record label executives, A&Rs. Like I find, you know, and this is not sort of a, you know, Tim Hart after 12 years of being in the music industry bitter. I'm not at all, but I find a real lack of imagination. It's all, like all these sheep waiting to see which gate's going to be opened, and then they all try to go through it, like the Billie Eilish gate, or back when the Lord gate got opened. Yep. Now we all need a Lord. Or back when the Mumford & Sons, like Boy and Bear, were like, oh, you know, we need Boy and Bear, you need to be the Mumford & Sons. It was like, well, that's not who we are. I know the music is in this same sort of category, but you can't just sort of try to push people through that. And so Australia, I think, is, you know, Australian audiences are definitely waking up to that, and looking further afield.
Well, and you know, as detrimental as streaming services can be, that is a positive of them, right? Is the ability to open up a kind of more of a worldwide perspective to people.
Totally. I mean, I couldn't go back now. Like, I know what it's done to artists, and I am one of those. But I'm a lover of music first, and I love it. I feel like I've gone back to my high school years, yep. where I'm discovering music and people are sharing music with me. And you know, Savvy and I have been real careful to go, what is it that we want to achieve with the Tim Hart Project? And one of those is like, I want to discover more music, and I want people that follow me to help me do that. And that's what we've been doing, and it's a real fun thing to do. So I think for all the detriment perhaps and the naysayers preach about streaming services, the good far outweighs the bad, in my opinion, if you're a music lover, not a money lover.
No, that's a whole other ball game.
Yes, it is.
We started this conversation talking about Banoffee, and I think that's absolutely relevant as well, talking about, you know, going overseas and then the gates opening here for you. Well, I mean, we saw that with Methyl Ethyl. Bunch of Australian artists, that is what happened. Hopefully it happens. Teskey Brothers. Hopefully, I mean, given travel restrictions now, it becomes more difficult too. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the Australian industry changes over the next 12, 24 months, given the pandemic. Not to make everything about the pandemic. But talking about a pandemic, this song is called Contagious. It's by Banoffee.
If you want space, I'll give you all I've got. Think I'm contagious with something you don't want.
That was a bit of Contagious by Banoffee. We've just been reminiscing over an interview I did with Tim 4 years ago because I want to waste a lot of his time. Your final song for today. We're up to your final song.
Yep. I changed it out at the last minute. I had something else. It was a Paper Kite song I had, and I changed it out for a Ballpark Music song called Cherub.
Yes.
Which actually, I'm gonna go out there and say it's my favorite song of the year, potentially across the board, of the entire world.
And that's a massive call.
Yeah, and I don't know that I can completely justify to you why that is, but there's something about Sam Cromack's melodies, and his use of lyrics that go between beautifully creative and artistic and colloquial, that I can't get enough of. It reminds me kind of like this sort of lyrical approach of the Streets at times. At times it reminds me of the lyrical approach of, like, I guess your Gautiers of the world. Because something that becomes, that can go from being very profound to very conversational within a phrase. I don't know, like, I really love it. Like, he's talking about happiness, and he describes happiness, and then at the end of it is like, and it's heavy as fuck. And it's like, that's just such a, like, it was just, I found it really, like, such a great concept lyrically. I'm super interested in lyrics. And I don't know, I became obsessed with the song. I think they, Ballpark Music always have one or two songs on their records where that it's like, wow, this is like, it's almost like a demo of a pop song. But it's not fleshed out.
Yes.
But it becomes this, like, if you've ever seen them at a festival, which I'm sure you have, They become anthems.
They absolutely festival anthems. Do. Yeah.
And this one, just watch it when we can have festivals again, which I'm sure will be early next year. There'll be something. Please tell me there's something. this will be an absolute killer anthem at festivals next year. 100%. And I think it will be very well deserved because it's an incredible song.
So, off the back of that, I feel like I should read the first note that I wrote about this song, which is ballpark music are a national treasure.
Yes.
Which is 100%. True. The build in the back half of this song is incredible.
Yeah.
It starts very, I guess, delicate, and there's a lot of space in the song. And then towards the back half, probably the last third of the song, it just is this amazing build that, to me, reminds me a lot of one of the songs on their debut album, which was nice, a nice kind of linking factor, because they have progressed so much. I mean, the songwriting has always been there, all that stuff has been there, but I feel like they've progressed as a band so much, they've matured as a band so much. But that build at the end took me right back, and it was a really nice kind of, thread to pull through, which was cool.
Yeah, which is a really important thing as an artist to be able to do, because you want to always be winning new fans, but you don't want to alienate people that have been there, the early adopters, I suppose. You know, if you were writing one of those books that changed people's worlds for about a month and then they forget about, you would talk about the early adopters, and I think you don't want to alienate people that were there at the start, you know.
Is that something as Boy and Bear you're conscious of?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
No. No. I think it's something that in when the songs are written and you're choosing a final record, so maybe we are, because maybe that will get a song across the line against another song. You know, if there's a song that's got some rich harmonies and another song is sort of, in a different vein, maybe that one with the richer harmonies might get across the line if you're having to make a choice. I think we very much value, you know, our fans. Like, we had people come along to hold tickets through like three or four derivations of shows that were cancelled and moved and reinstated, and just to have those people at the end of the year when we played those concerts in November, like, it was like so incredible. And some of those people have only listened to our latest record, and some of them were there on our EP. So
when you only had those five songs and then your shows were short because you only had those songs.
Did you ever go to one of those? Some of those sets went for like 25 minutes.
I remember the one you did at, this is a very specific memory, the East Brunswick Club in Melbourne, which doesn't exist anymore, with Passenger. Yes.
I thought they were bringing it back.
Where you all jumped down onto the floor to sing the song that you
Shape
did
of Love.
Shape of Love.
Shape of Love. Yeah,
I remember that vividly. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a great tour. Who else did we have on that tour? I feel like we had...
The Chemist.
Man, they had some great songs.
They did. They're gone now,
really
too.
Really great songs.
Two of them became Ham Jam.
Ham Jam happened for a while. And I know Elliot was playing with Meg Mack for a little bit at least.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what Ben did. But I don't know. He was producing and stuff. He was very, very intelligent human being and very, very talented. But that was a great show. And, yes, that was the EP, I think.
It had to have been. Because, you only had the five or six songs, really.
I'm so sorry. We probably owe you a
great
refund. A percentage of a refund for playing like a 35-minute set with probably two covers in it.
I don't like standing very long, so it was great for me.
You know what? If I go to a live show and they play for 2 hours, I'm pissed off. Because I kind of want... my opinion is 75 minutes is the ideal set length, because you're probably engaged for the first 20, 25 minutes. You're excited to be there. And then you kind of go and get yourself a drink or whatever. And then you come back and you're like, oh, you hear one or two songs you love. And that sort of gets you through to about 55 minutes. And then you're like, maybe I'll get another drink and wonder when these guys are going to wrap up. And then they say, you know, because we never used to play encores and now we do. I don't know if that's good or not. Then they're like, oh, this is our last song. And you're like, oh, hell yeah. And that buys you an extra 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's in terms of the structure of a set, like, and I'm not like a diehard live music person, but like I love going to shows. And if you kind of like last night, I was waiting to get a COVID test because everyone who has come from Sydney to Brisbane has to do one. And it took 5 hours. And I feel like if they curated that space better, I would have been a happier boy. But they were like, no one said anything to me. But if they were like, okay, cool, guys, we're just about 20 minutes from finishing the paperwork, which means then 40 minutes after that, we'll be able to do this. And an hour after that, like, I would have just been happy because it's a bit of knowledge. Live shows are like that. They need...
You're right.
Just like...
Yeah.
Then you need to curate it because you don't want to lose people. I think, like, you start with... I guess you start and you get people into the mood you want them to be in. Say you're playing, for example, we're talking... Melbourne, say you're playing the Forum and you want to get people into a really sort of, I don't know, like moody, sort of dark place. Play three songs like that, keep the lights down, have a little bit of a chat, and then move into a different phase, maybe a bit more sunny, like Sunny Boy and Bear Face. Maybe a bit of Southern Sun. But like, actually give people something for that. They've paid money to come and see you play.
Yeah.
Like, pet hate, I don't know why I've got onto this, when we're talking about ballpark music, pet hate, bands that act like you're lucky to be at their show.
Yeah.
And they treat the audience with disdain. It's like, I hate that. I hate that as a punter, but I also would feel embarrassed of that as an artist. There you go. That's pet hate.
No, you're right though, because it's more than just standing on stage and playing your songs. You've got to actually think about the thread that you're... I'm saying thread a lot today, but it is about that.
I like it.
But see, this is why I sell merch at gigs. This is why I love selling merch, because you get to sit down and then you can enjoy a longer set with no problem.
That's great. That's great.
I mean, ballpark music have never disappointed me live. I've always enjoyed their shows. Actually, yeah, supported you guys at the Palais in Melbourne before the Palais didn't exist anymore.
No, was it the Palace?
Oh, it was the Palace, sorry. Yeah, the Palace before it didn't exist. And they...
Yeah, I know that they... I think they did the Palace run, though. They were such a great band to tour with. That was one of their first ever tours.
Yeah.
They were incredible. And
2012?
Just good people. I remember we got them... I remember they... Our guitar tech went up to Sam and one of the other boys was like, hey, you boys are in trouble. The band wants to see you in the green room. And we were somewhere weird. I've got a feeling, where was the room? It was somewhere really strange. Like it could have been in Western Australia somewhere. And so they were shitting themselves. Like, oh, what have we done? Like, have we got no, like, cause they're just trying to learn how to tour and they were so polite and so lovely. And they came in, walked into the band room, and we're all just sitting there having a beer, having a bit of food or something. And they're kind of standing there. And we're like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, Varga said you wanted to see us. Like, I'm so sorry if we've done anything. And we're like, what are you talking about? And then Varga's just standing behind, like, giggling. It was just so good.
So cruel.
The poor little ballpark guys. Yeah. Oh, not so little anymore.
No, I mean, one of them has kids, or more than one has kids, right? A kid.
Yeah. And they're an Australian institution.
They are. They absolutely are. And this album they released this year, this was kind of the one where they'd announced that it would be something and then they kind of changed that after it had already been announced, right?
That's right.
Good on them.
And then came out with a self-titled record on their sixth or seventh record, which is
incredible.
I love that.
They keep kicking goals. But this is a little bit of Cherub by Ballpark Music, and we will come back for my final song. That was Tim's last song for today. It was Cherub by Ballpark Music. We've just been, you know, thinking about, you know, gigs from the mid-2010s, I guess. But this is a band I have never seen live, I think. Maybe I have and I've forgotten.
Okay.
Although they did play live at the grand final, the men's grand final this year, and people got pissed off about it, but I thought they were great. But people can also jump in a lake and I wouldn't care. So I've chosen The Glow by DMAs. This is my third most listened to song of the year. This album, I think, really soundtracked my year. It came out, what was it, March or April? Quite early. And you mentioned Ballpark Music being an anthemic band. I think DMAs are absolutely that as well. Like, the way they write their songs, it's very soaring, very easy to latch onto, but it's not too simple that it seems that it kind of is a flash in the pan, if that makes sense. And I think that's what I love, and I think this song is like the epitome of this album.
DMAs for me, Western Sydney boys, right? Which is, that's where I'm from.
Yep.
Haven't changed who they are. I feel like they are, and obviously they're often compared to Brit Rock, and they're also getting amazing success overseas, especially in Europe. And I can see why. It feels to me that like there's, and I don't know if this is actually the case because I don't know these guys, but it feels to me that like there is that working class authenticity that sort of pervades their music, and yes, it is anthemic, and yes, it is easy to latch onto, but it seems to me just so devoid of self-consciousness, and so this is who we are. I'm a massive fan. I think they're going to be an enormous Australian band if they're given the opportunity to tour internationally. They will be enormous for us, and they're able to do the stripped down thing, and they're able to do a full band thing. The lead singer's voice is incredible, and
right, that's the thing that stood out for me, is that he did just an acoustic thing on Instagram one day, where he was just sitting on his bed and playing, and I was like, his voice is unbelievable.
Yep.
And for some reason, I didn't think it could have been that good given the production that's on the record. But no, it's truly that good.
I first heard DMAs because I was probably living under a rock, but first heard them with the Leica version, the Cher cover.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, who is this? Like, I need to know who this is. And I was so stoked when I found out who they were, and yeah, just a huge fan. And like, that's just raw talent, you know. When you see people go on and they play the grand final, or they play on a TV show, and they're just a bit shit, these guys are not. He can really sing, and that sets you apart. Like, I'm lucky enough to have played in a band with a guy that can really sing.
Yeah.
And it's a different thing. It's just a different thing from beautifully produced vocals that have been, you know, maybe potentially manipulated at times, to just raw talent, and he has it in spades. And this, The Glow, incredible.
Yeah. This, like, I've if does anyone still have Last.fm? Because I absolutely do. And looking at my year on that and not just on Spotify is fascinating, because it's just like this DMA's record, it's the Bombay Bicycle Club record, the Alice Ivy record. Those are the three that like did it for me this year. And yeah, but I think the Glow sits atop a lot of that stuff, because it's just like, just talking about it, I can hear it in my head. And how often can you do that? Or for me, that doesn't happen ever.
Yep. It's great.
Anyway, that is the last song of today. That's called The Glow. It's by DMAs. We'll come back to talk about Tim's solo stuff in just a second. Just heard a little bit of The Glow by DMAs. That was our last track for today. I'm here with Tim Hart, who has some exciting things going on. Tim, tell me about what you've got happening at the moment.
Well, I've got an album coming out February 19. I think the next single is out soon-ish. I had a single out on December the 10th. I think the next single is out sort of toward the end of January, which feels soon to me.
It's absolutely soon.
Yeah, and then we'll be doing some touring off the back of that. But it's gonna be all it's a movable feast at the moment, obviously, because of the constant shifts in rules. Fingers crossed, and all thoughts and prayers with Sydney. so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I've got a single out at the moment. It's called Cold Comfort, and another one coming out called Steady She Goes. We've got videos coming out, more of Savvy's amazing animations, and then a record which I'm extremely proud of and extremely excited to share, called Winning Hand, on February the 19th.
And this is a record that you've done since leaving your previous management and your previous situation, right? And this is kind of a whole new world for you.
It's a whole new world. The record was completed when I still had my same management, but then it was mastered and everything, and all the videos and all the art direction was done afterwards. And it is a completely different, like the direction shifted the day that my old management myself parted ways, which was amicable, but it just was time. And yeah, it's been a really, really refreshing change for me. And then working with Savvy has just taken it to a new level. So I'm extremely excited. We do this thing with where we send postcards to people.
Yes.
And all the listeners will not be able to see this, because you can't see things when you're just listening to them. But this is my latest. We checked my PO box the other day, and this is my latest lot of postcards from all around the world.
You're holding like 15 of them.
There's like Russia, this is Amsterdam, this one comes from Dublin, this one comes from the States somewhere. One of them's from Noosa, which is really only like an hour and a half away from me, which actually I really love. This one's from the Netherlands as well. This one's amazing. From Bavaria, so southern
that
Germany.
That one's so nice.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It's gorgeous. It's a picture of mountains.
And it's shiny.
Which I like. And this one is a girl from somewhere in Europe, I think potentially Romania, but it's her artwork, and look how much she's written on that. I mean, that's a small essay.
Wow.
This is another Dutch one.
That one's cool.
This one, where is this from?
It's got a hole in it.
Yeah, it's got a hole in it, which is probably Dutch as well. And look, this is, this is Disneyland one, which is Neuschwanstein, I think. I just read it off the back, so I don't think. Literally, that's what it is. And then if you might be able to hear my son in the background.
He's incredibly cute.
Here he is. Say hi to Gemma Jack. Hi. and one of my Dutch fans sent me this.
Oh,
this
amazing.
Is a little Miffy at the Zoo book. So thank you to them. So it's... you know, it feels like my solo project has a real sort of, the goal at the start of the year, he wants to come back up. The goal at the start of the year was a genuine connection with people and to sort of take what I love to do and to sort of build a bit of a, not that I'm, you know, I'm not apocalypse nowing the world, but building a bit of a community of people that like the same sort of things. And that's like, for us, it's like music and being in contact in a little bit of the old world and that stuff. And it's been really fun.
And you've also filmed, I don't know if, let me know if I shouldn't be saying this.
Yeah, it's all right.
You've also filmed some great videos of you performing the songs too, right?
Yes, yeah. So Sabi and I had the idea to just like go ahead and film some live performance videos and also a like a lyric video for the latest single Cold Comfort, which I did and then Sabi edited, and my wife and I did it. And then also to do a video for the next single that's coming out, Said As She Goes, which I also filmed myself with one of my mates. So that has been so much. In fact, like, if there's a list of the best things to come out of COVID, number one is spending more time with my son and my wife. Number two is starting to work with Sabi. Number three has been learning how to shoot and edit videos, because it's always been something that I haven't enjoyed and I've really been reticent to do. And I've really enjoyed it this year, and I've enjoyed like learning a new skill and being able to get better at it and fail at it and solve problems. And yeah, it's just been really good.
That's really exciting, because I mean, we started talking about those animations that Sabi learned how to do, but it's great to see that you're kind of expanding your skill set at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so sorry about the noise, Gemma.
You're okay. It's all right. We can forgive. It's all right.
Cool. Sorry.
No, you're fine. And just one last question before we wrap it up.
Yeah.
You obviously will have experienced a lot having been in a band like Boy and Bear and toured a lot and all those sorts of things. How much of that can you take into your solo project and have ownership of and take those ideas to it? And how much of it is kind of out of the picture given the different scope of each project?
So much of it is transferable, like knowledge on touring and production and recording, it's all completely transferable. And but like singer-songwriter world is a completely different world, and for that I've definitely had to learn. Look, it's a bit of, I'll take you outside now. It's a bit of both. Like, it's definitely transferable. Like, the Boy and Bear world is like a massive machine. And like, when it starts to move, when it starts to roll, like, it's amazing, but it's also very full on. Like, it takes a long time to get moving and it takes a long time to slow down. With it, as a singer-songwriter, you're like, all right, I'm going to leave on a trip to Europe, book my ticket. I haven't even packed the night before. You know, like, you get up in the morning, pack your bag, get your guitar, off you go.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. Like, and I love that about it. But then all the production side of it and recording and, you know, all the industry side of it is definitely transferable. So yes, it's good. Like, but I love doing both, because they're so different. And I feel like in this project, I'm definitely a different character than... I mean, I don't know if that's true. I would feel like I'm a fractionally different character than the one I am in Boy and Bear, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense as well.
Yeah, so...
But everyone should go and check out Tim's singles. The most recent is called Cold Comfort. The record is coming out in February, so as soon as people can start pre-saving that, I will share that on the Australian Jam socials as well. Thank you so much for joining me, Tim. I know you've had a very stressful little patch of your life, so I appreciate you taking the time.
No, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on, Gemma, and good luck for the hiatus of the podcast back in April. I'm sure it'll be wonderful.
So I can focus on AFLW season.
It's great. And people will miss it.
Hopefully.
Because it's great.
Thank you. Yeah, so everyone go and check that out. We will be back late April after the AFLW season is done. If people want to find you, Tim, where can they find you?
It's all the socials are at Tim Hart Music. Don't be confused with the English folk singer who's dead. I'm definitely not dead and definitely not English. So Tim Hart Music, you'll find me.
If you want to find Australian Jams, just search Australian Jams podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to talk to me directly about footy, find me at JL Bassiani on Twitter and I will very much engage with you. Don't worry about that. Unless you're a jerk, because then I'll ignore you. This has been Australian Jams. Have a great holiday period, everyone, and we'll see you in the new year sometime.
All right.